So this morning we're continuing our Advent series this year, 2019. Every year, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, every year we have an Advent series, really just spending time dedicating to following Christ and studying his Advent and just examining and reflecting upon it. And even today we're going to take a look at imitating the Advent, maybe a concept you've never heard of or thought about. But if you go to the next slide, we... As the pastors, I don't know what's up with the font there. Sorry, that wasn't my original font, but it looks cool. We were looking, just reflecting on how can we honor and glory Christ this year in the Christmas season, or as we like to say in the church, the Advent season. So we came up with these four different areas that are biblical. And just seeing what the scriptures can reveal to us in the Holy Spirit. So last 2 weeks ago, we looked at how to properly celebrate Christmas. That's a big question that the world has, but also the church has. How can we celebrate? And does the Bible give us any indication or blueprint? And so we looked at the angels' message as they actually proclaimed, as they announced the Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior being born to the world. So, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week, Pastor Vernon shared with that amazing word, promulgate, or how to proclaim the message. The angels had given the message to the shepherds and then said, now you go into Bethlehem and go and share this message with other people. So that's an intricate part of the Advent, of the Christmas message, is to go and share with others. This morning, we're going to look at another concept that you may have never heard of, imitate the Advent, and we're going to look at what that exactly means. And then on Tuesday, or Christmas Eve, that is Tuesday, correct? Tuesday, Christmas Eve. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but on Tuesday, in a few days, a couple of days, at 7 p.m., we're going to have the candlelight service. If you didn't know, you're invited to that, and we have that every year. And it's going to be at 7 p.m. at 97 Madison, second floor, excuse me. And we're going to look at how to anticipate the coming Advent, when Jesus returns again. So these are all important parts of the Advent that we would like to share this Christmas 2019. So I hope it's been a blessing to you. The sermons are up online, so if you haven't heard them, they're up online. This morning, we are going to look into how to, as followers of Christ, or if you're a seeker of Christ and you're exploring this right now, we're going to look at how can we follow Christ in his advent, in his birth, in the word becoming flesh. Like, how was there an example that Christ set for us in that? So we're going to be looking at that. Let me read this morning's scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dive into our sermon. This morning's scripture is found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then skipping a few verses, and then picking back up in 9 through 14. So let me begin. It's in your bulletin, it's on the board, and it's in your Bibles. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, it's that time of year again where we remember your advent, where we reflect, we study your scriptures, we seek your guidance, we seek direction, we seek to glorify you. God, we seek answers, we seek encouragement during this time. Gotta. I know that there is a busyness to the signal, to the season that comes along as well, Father. I know that there's a competition from worldly temptations, and I know, God, that it is a difficult season just as well as it is a joy season. And even some amongst us are in the midst of mourning as well, Father. Father, as we read your scripture, we are looking for answers, Father. We are looking for encouragement. We're looking to see your character and your faith and your love and the plans that you have for us, Father, to save us. Father, to save the entire world. Father, that's why we are here this morning. That's why we're celebrating Advent, to celebrate your salvation plan, to celebrate you, Jesus Christ, coming to the world to be our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. Father, these next few moments, the short they are, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us and show us how we, as followers of you, can imitate your Advent as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So this is the Apostle John's description of Advent. I love the book of John. I believe it. When I first started, we actually went through the majority of the book of John, and I just love John's his story that he tells of Jesus. It's different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But as I read this is John's Advent story, his description of Jesus coming to earth. I'm given this impression that there is a mystery to the Advent, to the arrival of Christ, to Christmas. We are told in this Advent account by the Apostle John that Jesus and God the Father were together in the beginning. He says that his words are the Word was with God. We are told that Jesus is God. John says the Word is God. We are told that Jesus made all things. Through him, all things were made, is the way that John describes it. We are told that Jesus is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. Like, this is John's mysterious but amazing and beautiful and wonderful description of the Advent. These are great mysteries as well. And I'm sure that John, he greatly considered his words as he wrote these down. And as he described the Advent account of Jesus, so John goes on to tell us that in his Advent story that Jesus is the light of the world, and he shined into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome him. This is the way that he's describing Advent. Some did not recognize Jesus, the one who made all things. Others did not receive Jesus, even though they considered themselves his own. Yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Then John, he gives this iconic, and it's actually an easily recognizable and widely known, famous description of the Advent of Christ. Can you go to the next slide? And it's in John 1:14. And this is his basically summarizing the Advent of Christ. And he said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. Whereas Luke, which we looked at the past 2 weeks, he describes the miracles and even the historical account of the Advent of Jesus coming into the world. But John, he gives us the mystery of the Advent. And if you truly ponder the birth of Christ, you will consider its meaning and its significance. I believe that you too would agree that Christmas is mysterious. I mean, there's so many questions that come from Christmas. If you think about it, there's a lot that we cannot fully comprehend. This is the way that I like to put it. There's a lot that we cannot fully comprehend this side of eternity. For example, how does God, who is spirit, become flesh? I mean, these are some of the things that John is addressing in his Advent account. How does a virgin give birth to a baby? These are mysterious. How does a human give birth to God? This is truly mysterious. These are mysteries, and they're astounding. And I hope that you take time this Advent season to consider the significance of God becoming flesh and dwelling with us. There's a lot there. There's a lot. Besides the miracles and the characters of stories and the different historical accounts, there's a lot of mystery that we should consider this side of eternity. So this morning, for our short time, or it's going to be a short and sweet sermon, We're going to take a deeper look into the mystery of the Advent and explore the attitude of Jesus as he prepared to enter the world for Christmas. Then we're going to see how we can imitate the same attitude this season, this Advent season 2019. So let's begin this. Can you go to the next slide, please? So we're going to look at the advent of Jesus and his actual attitude. So in the scriptures, we can get a glimpse of the attitude. And when I say attitude, I mean the heart, the willpower, the preparation that Jesus put into actually coming to the earth. We can get a glimpse of that, the mind of Christ, as he even planned the advent. God didn't just decide on a whim, you know, that he's going to come and tabernacle. I like that word. He would come and tabernacle to the earth in flesh. It wasn't like just, hey, I think I'm going to do that today. He planned this whole thing out. He put thousands and thousands of years into this planning, into this one event that John says the Word became flesh. This is God's planning. We're going to kind of look into that. He put his heart and his mind into making sure that the advent was everything that we know it to be. There was a lot that was put into this. So let's look at the attitude, the mind, the heart, the preparation that God put into the advent. So that's what we're going to kind of focus on this morning, and then just very briefly apply this to our own lives and see how we can imitate the advent. So I'm just going to share a few things that Christ went through as he's preparing for the advent. Again, we're not focusing on the characters this morning or the miracles or the historical significance, but we're actually looking into what did it take for Christ to actually come to the earth? What was in his character and in his attitude? So let's start with this one. And the first thing that I would like to share, and I believe that is true and scriptures backs this up, is that Jesus' attitude in the Advent when he came here to earth was an attitude of humbleness. And we could go, by the way, I'm just going to share a few of these. We could go on and on and on about these, but I'm just pointing out a few of these. Christ, when he came to the earth, he had the attitude of humbleness. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, he says, Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself further by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So this is the humbleness of Jesus Christ. He continued to be God, but he came and he took on flesh. He took on the attitude of humbleness. Another one that Jesus, again, I'm just briefly coming through some of these and we're going to apply it to ourselves. Another attitude that Jesus had in the Advent when he was prepared for this was patience. Can you click the next one, please? So Adam and Eve and the fall of mankind happened, we don't know the exact date, like nobody knows the exact date, but it happened thousands of years before Christ came. So for thousands of years, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, they had this attitude of patience for thousands of years. It must have killed them, you know, or it must have been so difficult for them to see that mankind was falling and being separated, being further separated. So they had this patience going on. You know, they could have just done it just like that, but they were waiting for the right time. Another attitude that Christ had was courage. You never think about this, but God has an attitude of courage in coming into the Advent. When he came, he was in heaven. He's in his heavenly throne with God the Father, and there's this Trinity, that another mystery. But when he came here on earth, he knew that he would suffer and die. So just think about that. Like, this is the behind-the-scenes planning look in the heart of Christ as he's becomes flesh. He has the heart of courage. I mean, he entered into the darkness. This is the way that Apostle John describes it. He enters into the darkness. As kids, you know, as children, we're often scared of the dark. I know a lot, some adults are scared of the dark. This week, this sounds bad, but my daughter was like acting up, and so she wouldn't let me change her diaper. So I shut the door and said, okay, I'm leaving you alone. And I cracked the door, and she's like jumping on the bed and having a ball. And I'm like, okay, that didn't work. You know, that's not much of a punishment. So I turned off the light and then shut the door. And then she's like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. So we are scared of the darkness as humans. And Christ was coming into the darkness. That's literally what John described, how John describes the Advent. And it took courage to come into these scary places. He knew that he would come into the darkness. He knew that he would be rejected, that he would suffer persecution. He knew that he would face trials from Satan and temptations. He knew that he would face these trials that he went through. He knew there were so many details that he knew. He knew that rulers would try to kill him. I mean, for goodness sake, the rulers of that time killed the entire, so many kids in that village of Bethlehem. Like, he knew that's what he was facing. I would argue that when Christ came, the Advent, when he came into the world, he had the heart, he had a courage, he was courageous. Another attitude of Christ is this, preparedness. He set this whole thing up. I mean, like I say, he worked the whole Advent thing for thousands and thousands of years, revealing it to prophets, planning it through lineages. I mean, like, he planned this thing. It was a perfect time. Even the stars were aligned. I mean, like, everything was so prepared. And so this is Christ's attitude coming into the Advent. Another one is generosity. God did this for us. I mean, yeah, he did it because he loves us and he wants us to be with us. But when God became flesh, he did it for us. It was an act of generosity. He didn't have to do that. Advent was a gift to us. That's one of the ways it's described over and over and over again, that Advent is a gift to us. And so when Christ came to here on the earth, he was being generous. Another added, and again, there's so many, but I'm just pointing out a few, was sacrifice. Jesus literally came to the earth Christmas day. He was born to die. I mean, he knew it. It had already been prophesied. Even the wise men were bringing him burial spices. Like, he was born to die. Another sacrifice that Jesus went through was he left heaven to come and be born in an animal feeding trough. I mean, that's a pretty big sacrifice. And we don't often think about that, reflect that. But when Christ came, his attitude was that of sacrifice. Can you imagine, like, 1 minute being in heaven with God the Father, the next minute being helpless and in a manger, and you know, the smells and stuff that come with that, and the sights. I mean, that's sacrifice. Another trait, characteristic, or attitude that he had was commitment. As I mentioned, he had planned this thing out for thousands of years, and he came through on his promise. I mean, this is God's commitment to us. Like, he's faithful to us. He has extreme commitment. This is one that's not talked about too much, but Jesus was obedient. He was obedient to the Father's will. So obedience is another one. Another one that we kind of know, but you don't really spell it. We haven't spelled it out before, is teamwork. I mean, God could have just done this whole thing by himself, the Advent, but no, he had teamwork. Like, he's working with Elizabeth. I mean, there's some of the people, Zechariah, John the Baptist, the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, Mary, Joseph, David, and there's a whole plethora of other people there. So Jesus is doing this whole, he's doing a teamwork thing. This is his attitude. I'm going to work with a number of people. And finally, love. And that love is really encompasses, like, all of these things here. This is how he showed his love. So this, so many times we focus on, like, the characters of the Christmas story, or we think about the miracles of the Christmas story. But today, I challenge you to think about God's heart and his attitude as he prepared to dwell with mankind. Think about and be reminded this morning of what it took for God to be born in the flesh and to dwell with us. This is what it took for God to save mankind through the Advent: humbleness, patience, courage, preparedness, generosity, sacrifice, commitment, obedience, teamwork, love, and there's so many other things that we could have listed there. This is perhaps an angle that you've never considered when reflecting upon the Advent. So now that we know that what Christ went through, we know what his attitude encompassed when he came to the earth in Advent, I invite you now to turn your focus on or our attention to apply Christ's example to our own lives. And today's title is, can you go to the next slide, is Imitate the Advent. Imitate the Advent. You can probably see where I'm about to go with this. We've just taken a look at how Christ himself went through what he went through to fulfill the Advent. Now I bring up an idea or a concept, a way of embracing Advent that perhaps you have never considered. As followers of Christ, we are called to follow Christ. That's why we're called followers. We're called to follow Christ. We follow Jesus in his life by living in obedience to his commands and his teachings and trying to our best to follow his way of life, live life to the fullest, full of grace, truth, faith, love, all of these things that Jesus demonstrated and taught us and gave us as example. So we follow Jesus in his life. We also follow Jesus in his death. Jesus tells us to take up our cross daily, to deny our sinful nature. We follow him in death as well. So if we are called to follow Jesus in his life, and if we're called to follow Jesus in his death, it begs the question, like, should we be called to follow Jesus in his advent as well? Is it possible to imitate Jesus in his advent? So I would argue yes, and let me show you how. So the word imitate here, and this is probably a new concept to you, but the word imitate is defined in a dictionary this way: to take or follow as a model, or to copy or simulate a person's speech or mannerisms. So could it be that Jesus was setting an example, setting the Advent as a model for us to follow, to imitate in our own lives? Could it be that when Jesus came in the Advent, he was setting a model, an example for us to follow in our own lives? Jesus tells us, if you go to the next slide in John 5:19, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." So Jesus was doing only what he saw his Father doing. And this is a mystery as well. But whatever the Father does, Jesus does also. Then the Apostle Paul kind of applies it more to us in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and he says that we are to imitate Christ. We are to imitate Christ. And he says, "Imitate me," and this is Paul speaking, "imitate me as I also imitate Christ." So there's like this chain thing. Jesus is imitating, he's following God the Father, although they are the Trinity, and that's a mystery. But Jesus can only do what the Father does. And then Paul is saying, "Follow me, I'm following Christ, and then you follow me," and we're supposed to imitate Christ. And this is what it means to follow Christ. Like, we're following him, we're imitating him in life, imitating him in his death, and then this morning we're looking at imitating him also in his advent. So what if we are to imitate like Christ in his advent, what does that look like? And this, let me show you this. The Advent is something that we, as followers of Christ, can participate in as well. And this is one of the things, as I was studying this and just really reflecting upon this week, is this, that the Advent is not passive. Like, a lot of times we as Christians, we just kind of observe Advent. We maybe sing some songs. Maybe we participate by giving some, being generous or doing things like that. But in general, I would kind of think it's a passive event. But what if there's a way that Advent can be an active event, like something that we could actually imitate, something that we could do? Not the Advent, what if Advent wasn't just something that God did, but it's something that we can do as well, like every single year? And I'm not talking about being born into a virgin. I'm talking about the attitude of Christ. Can we follow that? And these were the traits of Christ. Can you go to the next slide? Humbleness, patience, courage. Go to the next slide, please. Preparedness, generosity, sacrifice, commitment, obedience, teamwork, love. What if we too, like as followers of Christ, had these same traits? Like these same characteristics, and like in all that we do, not only like, you know, from the last week in November to the end of January, what if we did this year round? What if we imitate the advent of a Christ in our own personal lives? Like, if this is an approach and an attitude that we have in our marriage, wouldn't that like radicalize, change things in our marriage? Or our family life. What if I was humble, you know, as a son, or humble as a husband, humble as a father, or patient? Like, what if we take these principles of Jesus' advent and apply it to every aspect of our life and year-round? Like, that's what I'm getting at. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, can you go to the next slide, please? It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Another translation puts it this way: make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. Make your attitude that of Christ Jesus. And this was the attitude of Christ in the Advent. Do you kind of see the angle that I'm coming at here? And this is a way that, so how can we kind of imitate this? These are the characteristics of Christ and his own Advent. It's something that we could do every single day. If you can understand this, if this makes sense to you, the same as Christ entered into the darkness, into the light, that first Christmas day 2,000 years ago, we are to be the same, to imitate Christ and to enter into the darkest parts of the world to be the light. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go to dark places in the world, like strip clubs or countries where everybody's possessed or something like that. It can mean that you could go into dark places in people's lives. Call out sin or hurt. You know, when there's darkness in our own lives as well. If it's your wife or your loved one or somebody close to you. Like, it doesn't mean necessarily a place, but, and that's the way that Christ was as well. He came into the darkest places of our own life. He came into the darkness and shined, and the darkness could not overcome. And his light was the life. Amen. We are to follow the example of Christ. We are to be the light of the world, just like John said Jesus was in his advent. We are to enter into the darkness and bring the same message that Jesus brought to the world. And this is a message, and I'm just going to recap what we said 2 weeks ago. This was a message that Jesus brought into the world, the advent message. Can you go to the next slide, please? This was a message of Christ announced by the angels. And this is what the Advent really stands for. It is good news. It is great joy for all people. And Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Lord with us. And this brings glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to mankind. Man, what if this was the message? What if this is the way that we approach every single relationship in our life? Or everywhere that we go? We bring the message of Christ. We imitate the Advent. We imitate Christ's characters. Now, some of you, and as I was thinking about this, a lot of us have excuses, right? We could go into excuses like all day long, actually. We have so many excuses. A lot of you think that one excuse probably that most of us have is we think that Advent is passive. Like, we just kind of sit there, you know, eat, can show up to a party when we can, or celebration. It's just a passive event, something that God did. But what if that's your excuse? And what if that's why you're not having this attitude of Christ and sharing this message to people, because you think the Advent is passive? Like, my challenge to you in 2019 is to remember this message, but also remember that Christmas doesn't have to be passive. Like, you can literally imitate Christ in the darkest places of this world. So another excuse is this fear, or fear of failure. And again, if you're fearful of, like, going into the darkness, literally, or going into challenging situations, think of Christ's attitude. Like, Jesus, he came into the earth, like, knowing that he's going to be killed and persecuted. Literally hit the ground running. Right after, you know, pretty soon after he was born in Bethlehem, they had to skedaddle off to Egypt because people were trying to kill all the, like, he knew that he was going to be on the run from, you know, from kings, from Pharisees, and then Satan's going to be pursuing him and bringing temptations before him. Do you think that Jesus was fearful? Like, we need to have the attitude of Christ as we enter into the dark, as we imitate the Advent. Don't let that be your excuse, fear. Or perhaps too difficult. Like, again, look at the attitude of Christ. Like, Christ could have said, it is too difficult to save all of mankind. Like, do you know the complexities? It's almost, I'm sure it's more complex than making the trillions and trillions of universes out there. if you just think about that concept. But how it, Jesus could have been like, this is too difficult, guys. You're too far gone. Mankind, I'm just gonna, you know, bye. No, but God didn't stop there. Like, it wasn't too difficult for him. It was a challenge, but it wasn't too difficult. And so we can have that same attitude of Christ and not have that excuse that it's too difficult. I mean, do you know the depth that God went through to save us? Beginning with the Advent. I just want to close with this excuses section with this, is that as I thought about this is my final answer to, like, excuses to not imitating the Advent in our own lives, that Jesus had no excuses in the Advent. So neither should we. Like, Jesus literally didn't have an excuse. You know, like, oh, it's too difficult. I got this. I'm going to do it. You know, like, Jesus, how did people come back from death? Like, I got this. Not too difficult. I got this. No excuses. Like, how do people live for eternity? Like, how do people come back to Christ? Oh, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in them. I'm going to make them a new creation. I'm going to, like, there's no excuses that Jesus gave. Like, he overcame everything, even overcame the whole world. And that should be our attitude as well. No excuses in imitating the Advent. It's not a passive time. It's not a passive season. And let me end with this. And this is just kind of my way of, like, an example. Let's put it that way. You know, I know and you know that Christmas is like a busy time. When I say busy, I mean the merchants are busy. Like, the stores are busy. Like beginning with the Macy's parade, which is like kind of advertising, is a fun thing. It was like advertising, come buy at our store. Like, and then you start getting bombarded. I don't know about you, but you start getting bombarded by the emails, right? Like, you know, Williams-Sonoma or Bed Bath or whatever you're subscribed to, you start getting the emails like, oh, 15% off here, 20% off. And the stores have been preparing for Advent for an entire year, if not years. Like, think about that. The stores that bombard us with emails, like, they've been preparing for the last year for the Advent season. They call it the Christmas holidays or Xmas or whatever they want to call it. But they've been preparing for a whole year for that. The government prepares for this. The government has, you know, they know how much the economy is going to spend, and then they give that number to other people. So the government's been preparing for Christmas season. You know, even like our taxes, the president's trying to, the tariffs on China is like all kind of focused around this whole Christmas holidays and what we're going to spend. So the government's prepared for the Advent season. Schools are prepared for Advent. Are school teachers out yet? Yes. All right. Schools are prepared for the Advent season. Macy's is prepared for the Advent season. Do we prepare for the Advent season? I just want you to think about that. And the way that these stores go about, they have to plan. Like, if they want to be financially successful, they have to plan out this holiday season. Do you want to have a fruitful anticipation of the Savior's birth? Like, do you want to, have you put in the work that the merchants have put in? that's basically what I want to get at. During this Advent season, and then I came across this concept as I was studying for this. During this Advent season, I want you to know that we are truly stewards reflecting Christ. We are stewards reflecting Christ. And Jesus was willing to become one of us so that he could heal a broken relationship between humankind and God. And he had this attitude. He had this attitude and he had these traits to him. And he had the heart and the will and the mind to say, I can overcome anything. And I challenge you this Advent season to have that same mind, to have that same attitude of Christ, to consider how you might imitate the Advent, how you too might be the light of the world. Christ has given us the example, and he's given us the model. He's given us the blueprint of how we can do, and imagine what we can accomplish in our own lives or in our own families or in our own church or in our own communities if we are too are the light of the world. And we imitate the advent of Christ. So I challenge you, find at least one situation this Advent season that you can be the light of. And then take these characteristics. I'll have this sermon up by the end of the week, probably on Monday. Take these characteristics and just go and dive in to that situation and see what happens. Have the attitude of Christ. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. The Advent is not a passive event. It was something that we can participate in as well as followers of Christ. Let me pray. Father God, this is an amazing concept, Father, that as we look into how can we follow you, Christ, not only in your life, not only in your death, but in your Advent, Christ. Isn't that amazing, Father, that you have set a story for us, that you set a beautiful example, Father, of your heart, your will, your determination, your attitude, Father, towards conquering the world, Father, towards conquering death, Father, towards conquering, overcoming sin, towards conquering the darkness, Father. And then you called us to be the lights of the world, the same as you. May we learn from your Advent this season, Father. May we participate in the Advent this season, Father. May you impress on our hearts, Father, your attitude, Father. And may we make our minds the same. May we have the same attitude as you, Jesus Christ. And I look forward to what will be accomplished through doing this Advent season. May you bless whatever darkness or dark corner that we're going to go into, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will remind everyone who's in this room, Father, of a situation, a darkness, a dark corner that they can go into, Father, and be the light of the world to that situation, to that person, to that place, Father. We all have darkness around us or in us, Father. And I pray, Jesus, that we will have your mind and your attitude and go in and be the light inside of that darkness. We thank you for this this scripture that John, the Apostle John, has told us and shared with us, and the mysteries that he's revealed to us through the Advent. Father, we look forward to glorifying you in heaven the same as the angels. We look forward to peace on earth. We look forward, God, to your return, Christ. Prepare our hearts, Father, for this Advent season. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.